sitting on a bar stool.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool. Kind of short and kind of square. Threw the foam in his mustache. His voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Yes, it settles in your soul. How you doing, everybody? This is Terry Raposa and Wynn Carpenter. How are you, buddy? We are here with our trusted producer, the Hat Man. How you doing, Hat Man?
Good morning.
Not to be confused with Batman, right?
I thought it was backwards Hat Man.
Oh. He's starting in already. This is going to be what, Correct Terry Day? Is that the deal? Huh? Huh?
Every day is Correct Terry Day.
Lori's going every yeah. Did Wynn say something? I don't pay attention anymore. Anyway, we are here today broadcasting live from KCNR Studios in downtown Reading, 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better, and 1460 AM, your talk radio. And we are streaming live on KCNR1460.com, KCNR1460.com. And also, if you have a question or a comment, the phone number is 530-605-4567, 605-4567, and if that is busy, you can call 4566. We're here today with Patrick Jones and Lori. How are you two doing?
Hey, very good, Terry. Thank you, Wynn, for having us on.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Always good to have you two on. Anyway, you have some updates on the fire for us. Can you give us those updates?
Well, yeah, obviously the Park Fire is on everybody's minds right now. This was an extremely dangerous fire, one of the fastest moving fires probably in California's history, burning something to the tune of 100 acres every minute. That Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, that fire was moving extremely fast and had the potential to easily come into Shasta County and burn the eastern portion of Shasta County completely, and that's places like Manton, that's Shingletown and beyond. So very concerned. I did get an update yesterday. Supervisor Kellstrom was out on the fire line with our CEO and our Chief O'Hara, and they got to take a look firsthand. The fire had passed over Highway 36 into Paynes Creek area, but thankfully, looks like Friday night, late or early Saturday morning, it looks like they've got either the winds pushed back or just a heavy attack on the front edge line there. And so they've slowed it down considerably on the Shasta County line. So right at this moment, it doesn't look like, from the reports that we got, that the fire has entered into Shasta County and it's holding right now. Now, I will still say, take a look at the CAL FIRE's website for all those evacuation orders. Take them seriously and make sure that you do prepare and get out. It's much safer to get out and then to have to come back later if the fire doesn't move forward. But play it safe. Take the recommendations of CAL FIRE. If you have an evacuation notice, make sure that you do follow that. But it looks like for now, if the winds continue to be in our favor, this may not enter in Shasta County. Now, as we know, most of these fires are all wind-driven, and this thing was so big that it was creating its own weather patterns, as we've seen in the past with the Car Fire and such. So if these winds pick up, those emergency evacuations then become extremely real, so this thing could move again. There is concern on the eastern side of this fire. There's still a lot of brush there, and it moved very quickly in that direction, north and northeast. And so we're not out of the woods, but at least we have some good news for today. And obviously over the next couple of days, keep close attention to this fire. It has potential to be, a very deadly fire. Right now, I don't believe we've had any injuries or deaths, so we're very thankful for that. So that's an update, and I appreciate our CEO, our Chief O'Hara, and Supervisor Kellstrom for getting out there and taking a first-hand look and giving us a little bit of good news for the week. So, and we hope it stays that way. But again, it can change very quickly. So just everyone that has an evacuation order, they should follow through on that.
Yeah, there was a couple of things I heard on a radio program yesterday. That they had some updates. And one of the things is they now have 2,500 guys and gals out there on the fire, which is good. We've got a goodly amount of people. And there was something that was said that I think makes a lot of sense, and that is that if you think you're in danger, go. Don't wait for somebody to tell you. If you think it's time to go, go.
Yep.
And I think that that's a great update, Patrick. I appreciate that a lot. At the Board of Supervisors lately, it's been a little bit of controversy. the program previous to us certainly was bringing a lot of that to light in their first few minutes of their program. And it's true. I mean, all this stuff that's going on when you play the tape back, it's borderline insanity what's going on with a lot of these things. But I'd like you to give us a little bit of an update, if you could, on what's going on at the ROV office. It's been a little bit quiet of late. Is there anything going on at this point at the ROV office?
Well, let's back up a little bit, Terry, since you brought it up and we have a little bit of time. So,
okay.
With the disruption that we had at the supervisors' meeting this week, there was something different that happened that I do appreciate. And, when we have disruptive behavior where a meeting has to be recessed or the room has to be cleared, which is what I had to do as the acting chair, in this particular case, we had a person that failed to leave, and so the sheriff, using Penal Code Section 403, if you disrupt a public meeting, you shall be removed, and that person was removed and cited. And so that is how it is supposed to work, and I hope the DA follows through and fines that individual, because there was time and money lost during that whole hour and a half to 2 hour disruption of a public meeting for no reason other than they just simply didn't like my vote, and that's not a reason to disrupt a public meeting, and you are in violation of a law, and that is Penal Code 403.
Yeah,
so the sheriff did act appropriate on that, and that's a good thing. So happy with that, and maybe that and because of that, there's going to be some new policies. So I'm sure we'll be talking about those next Tuesday with regards to the media and where they will be in the building.
Sure.
And the next meeting is a night meeting, so don't show up at 1450 Court Street at 9. Come later, I believe it's 5:30, and price for admission is free.
Yeah, and one thing that's important about a Penal Code 403 is that basically it's about your behavior. That's written in the law. So if your behavior is such that you interrupt that meeting, whether you agree or don't disagree or whatever the case may be, if you disrupt that meeting to where the meeting can't continue, that's a violation. And from what I could see, there was a lot of that going on. And I want to thank you, Patrick, for your patience. I don't know whether I should thank you or just say, hey, buddy. But,
it's the same handful of people.
Yeah,
incredible. It's a small group
just
of people
incredible.
That because we differ in some of our ideas and our votes, they start being disruptive from the floor. And we've seen it for a couple of years now. And, when we have a public meeting, we give everybody the chance to address the board on every item. They have that ability. But you can't yell out from the floor, and they know that. They know that, but yet they continue to do it, and it's just very childish behavior from a handful of people. And Nick hit it correctly this morning by saying they're all the recall people, and pretty much they are.
Same people.
And they just like to be disruptive, but we're taking steps to deal with that. And at the end of the day, we're getting all our work done. I'm very happy with the majority of the board, particularly with Chair Cry and Supervisor Kellstrom. We are getting things done, and we're going to continue to do that through the remainder of this year and hopefully in the next year, too.
At this point, when I don't really know the answer to this, that's why I'm asking, if somebody does the same thing again Tuesday, same people doing the same thing, 403, interrupt the meeting, stopping the meeting, is there a certain point where the supervisors have jurisdiction to say, that person just can't come in again, or do they have to file a restraining order? How does that work?
Yeah, and so, you know, for example, on this last meeting that we had, that person could not return into the board meeting that day. But they most likely will be back on the next meeting. And so there is another opportunity under the law that if, you know, continued disruption occurs, we can ask the public to leave the meeting. Media will be allowed to stay in the media room, and we will conduct the people's business without the people. Now, I don't like that, and I don't prefer that. And we have not used that yet. And the public would be upset if we did. The majority would be, because the majority of the people are behaving quite fine and are interested in what's happening with their money and how we spend it and the decisions and the policies that we make. So there are various things. The chair will make some of those decisions as to how to proceed if we have disruption. And I think if the sheriff just continues to follow through with removing people that have disrupted a meeting, and then the DA fining those people. I think the problem will go away.
Right. Now, what's going on with the ROV office? What's going on over there?
So I did want to talk a little bit about something that did occur last year and into this year with the elections office. Right now we have a new ROV, you know, Thomas, and he's doing a great job. And he's, you know, I've known Thomas for a couple years now, and he's, you know, he's just a really sharp individual. And so I expect some really good things to come in the future at the elections office. But what I wanted to talk about today was the CTCL, and if you're interested in that, obviously, as I am, you can Google that. And it's the Centers for Tech and Civic Life, and it's been mostly funded through Mark Zuckerberg. To this date, I believe about $400 million that he has put into the CTCL. And this type of money then gets divvied up in various election departments across the country to how they see fit. Now, they don't give this money to the resource management. They don't give it to Public Works or police or the sheriff or any of that stuff. They get this money to the elections departments. Now, 29 states, if I'm not mistaken, have barred this type of money coming into the elections office, because what they're attempting to do is influence policies and procedures that can affect a certain demographic of votes. And that is what the CTCL is all about. Now, back in February of last year when I was chair, and I was only chair for a little over a month, and we were notified that the CTCL was going to give us a $1.5 million grant, and here are the things that you can spend it on. Myself and Supervisor Kellstrom said no. We don't want this money coming in to try to influence how we do our elections. And the majority of the board, Supervisor Garmin and Supervisor Rickard, wanted the money with the strings attached. But a counterproposal came forward from then Supervisor Cry, and what his counterproposal said, and it passed 3-2, was that once we receive the money, you can't take it back, and it would be for the purpose of purchasing a building only. And that was our counterproposal, and that should have been sent forward to the CTCL. And so at that time, the acting CEO was Mary Williams, and I had asked Mary the following month, hey, did our counterproposal get accepted, and got no response. It was, nope, haven't heard anything.
Wow.
And three times over the course of me being chair, I asked repeatedly, did our counterproposal come through? And at no time did anyone indicate that it had. And then fast forward to 2024, and Supervisor Cry survives the recall and becomes chair. And then we hear that this $1.5 million grant was approved, and now it's time sensitive and we need to hurry up and get this thing going. And I said, well, wait a second. No, I'm unaware that, and I have asked about this, if our counterproposal was approved. Now, what we found out was our counterproposal never went forward to the CTCL. What we found out from 174 emails is that the then ROV Kathy Allen and the assistant Joanna Franciscott, along with Jim Ross, County Council, rewrote the contract.
Wow.
And sent it on. And that contract was approved the following month in March. So in February,
without your knowledge,
without the board's knowledge,
without any of the board's knowledge,
and no authorization.
Wow.
To do this. So this was a breach of contract. That's illegal. It's misconduct. That's illegal.
Okay.
By a whole bunch of people. Now,
isn't that a terminable offense?
Well, it's and several of those people. Of course, Allen is gone. Mr. Ross,
could you repeat that?
Yeah, so Allen is gone, and Ross is gone. The only one.
Could you repeat that?
Wayne, say that again. Say that. What you
asked? I asked if it was a terminable offense.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would be when you have when you deliberately mislead the board, take a decision that the board made in open session and a contract, and then you fail to move that contract forward, and you put your own in its place. Now, we know this because of the 174 emails. Miss Allen and Miss Francescott constantly come back and say, hey, if we word it this way, it doesn't have to go back to the board, correct? And Ross comes back on and says, no, it would need to go back to the board. 10 times Ross came back and said it needs to go back to the board. And they kept trying to rewrite it and saying it doesn't have to go back to the board, right? Yes. And 10 times the attorney said it needs to go back to the board if you're going to rewrite it. Well, it never came back to the board. And they rewrote it and then sent it on. Now they got a little problem because they got the grant. It was approved the very next month. But the problem was it wasn't our counterproposal, and so they didn't tell us about it. Now we fast forward to the unsuccessful recall of Kevin Cry. Now, I think what they were doing was planning on stalling till after the recall, and Kevin would be gone. There'd be a new board member quickly seated that would be different than the majority of the board and quite a bit more liberal, and then it wouldn't matter. And that's the only thing that I can think of. Now, during that time, this type of activity was happening, obviously, without our knowledge. No board member knew about it. At least I didn't know about it. I know Chair Cry did not know about this. We've had since then 4 attorneys resign, and others, and Mary Williams, the acting CEO at the time. She obviously knew about this. She was working with ROV Allen. She's also resigned. Support Services, Shelley Forbes resigned, and others resigned. And so when you hear about these resignations that the left is constantly saying we're having, you know, hemorrhaging of good people. Well, you're having people resign because of misconduct. And it's all going to come out, as Chair Cry says constantly. It will come out.
Oh, we have a caller on the line. Sorry to keep you holding, Dick, but we're kind of on a subject here. How are you, sir?
I know. I hear you on a
okay.
subject. And, you know, I had a question for Patrick Jones. Say, Patrick, when your term limit is up as supervisor, what are your plans politically? Are you going to run for state senator or maybe the governor of the state? What's your plans? Are you just going to retire?
Well, it's thank you, Dick. No, you know, I'm still staying in Shasta County. I'm not going anywhere. There are opportunities that come up. And, you know, I've had a history. If people look in my past, you know, I ran for council in 02 and 04 and lost. And then I won in 06, won in 10. I did not win in 14. And so I was out of office. So I've been in office. I've been out of office, back in office. And I'm sure I will be back again. Where and what? Maybe it'll be this board. Maybe not. We'll see. And the doors open up. When one shuts, another one's open. President Trump assures me that he'll be holding a cabinet position for me. So that's a possibility.
Actually, it's for Lori.
Well, whatever you decide, good luck, Patrick.
All right, Dick. I appreciate it. And thank you for all you do. You know, Dick is one of those kind of guys in the
Amazing.
Community
yeah, he is.
That is one of the hardest working people that I have ever seen. And he's a young man, but he gets so much stuff done. And we appreciate you, Dick. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Dick.
You're welcome. Okay, bye.
So, yeah, anyway, getting back to this, that's interesting. I don't want to take everything we just talked about lightly, that's for sure. Is there any, I mean, it seems to me if they were doing that, how come they're, why is Joanna still working there?
Well, what, you know, what, these kinds of things, they're serious. They're serious issues, and they're very factual. No one has disputed any of this. The emails are there. You can see the communications going back and forth. Wow. The decision the board made was very clear. Whomever took part of that and had knowledge of that, you know, is insubordination. And failing to respect the decision of the board is a serious issue. Boards come and go. And whatever the board decides, staff needs to carry that out. And, you know, the Shasta County Board of Supervisors, as all supervisors in the state of California, we oversee the elections department. So this was an important one to me. And particularly because, you know, of Mark Zuckerberg and the influence that he has had around the country and the problems that we see associated with the elections. And it's one of the reasons why I move forward on the election commission is to start highlighting some of these problems. And, you know, one of the best things that's happened is new eyes in the ROV with Thomas Toller. And I think that's going to be significant to start fixing some things there. And and eventually, out of all the people that were involved in this CTCL gate, as we could call it, the Mark Zuckerberg gate, there's only one person still, to my knowledge, in a higher level, still employed, and that would be Joanna Franciscott, and she is the number two over there and in the elections office. And so this just shows that things that have happened that were not authorized by the board. And there's other things, too. And as the months pass, I'll be talking about some of the other issues very similar to this where things were being done that were not being authorized by the board, and they're very serious. Why would pretty much half of our legal staff resign? They didn't do that just for no reason. There were reasons, and we were finding out about those reasons. And you know, when you have legal counsel giving you bad legal advice, it puts a lot of stress on the board itself. And, you know, I'm real thankful that we now have a new top lead counsel, which is Joseph Larmer, and that is significant because I think he is doing the will of the board, giving us good legal advice. And I've made no secret, I have problems with attorneys. And I once said that there was an attorney that I thought I liked, and but I was wrong. And once upon a time, and you know, and I just obviously with the law, it's how you interpret it, and sometimes some of these attorneys, you know, stray pretty far, and you know, and judges are on my list of next less friendly people, and
so he married into a legal family.
Yeah. There you go.
And you know, so you know. Things will come out, and the county would be better for it. And, you know, I really do feel that at the end of the day, with our new CEO, Dave Rickert, at the helm, new county council, new health and human services director, new support services director, you know, we have a lot of good new health officer, Dr. Mu. You know, we're going to start seeing an improved Shasta County. These types of things were happening when I was at City Hall, too. But when you're only one person, not much is going to change. And so I uncovered things at City Hall back in those years, and without a lot of help, they don't get fixed. And you need a council that is willing to do what's right, and you need to get the right staff that does the will of the council, whomever that is.
Now, yeah. I have a question for you. When you're talking about staff, doesn't matter what level they are, and they're engaging in behind-the-scenes chaos to skirt the board and the board's decisions, they're the executive and legislative body of the county. The staff is not. They're right. Bureaucrats at best. And so when that happens, to me, just looking in from the outside, standing outside the box, that's a terminable offense. How does HR factor into this? Are they aware of it? Do they have this information? Are they going to act on this information?
Well, much of what I've said here today, I've said in open session as well. So, yes, everybody is aware of it. If they weren't, they're certainly aware of it now. What actions will be taken? Again, Mary Williams is resigned. And Kathy Allen has retired, and the only one that's still left that was involved in this, at least at a high level, was Joanna Franciscott. So there may be some action with that. Time will ultimately tell.
But none of the attorneys are still around that were engaging in that?
And all those attorneys have left as well. So, again, that is – and this is just one issue. There is others. So
right.
We will get to the others. But this one was important to me because it was banned. This type of activity was barred in 29 states. And yet this board, Supervisor Garmin and Supervisor Rickert wanted to approve this thing with no changes at all. All the strings attached, and that's exactly what Zuckerberg wants, and that's why he's willing to spend hundreds of millions of dollars to affect change like this. And
especially in California. Yep.
And so, now the public is aware of it.
Yep.
And but again, if people want to take a look at Centers for Tech and Civic Life. And kind of read through that. And in fact, when you look online and you see some of the photographs, you will see Joanna Franciscott there. She was on that committee. She has since stepped down, but she has been a part of their committee for a long time.
Wow.
And a Mark Zuckerberg-funded committee.
Wow.
Well, with that, we've got to go off for our break. So time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Hello, food fans. Chef Cal DiMercurio here, inviting you to tune in each Wednesday for an hour of helping you turn the drudgery of preparing home meals into having fun in the kitchen. We'll be sharing tips, tricks, and tempting insights that are sure to make your time in the kitchen a pleasant and fulfilling one. Come join me and my wife Wednesdays from 5 to 6 p.m. at Cooking Like a Pro, right here on KCNR 1460.
As we all get older, the one constant thing is the aggressive, excessive mail and advertising for Medicare, Medicare supplements, and Medicare Advantage. And almost every one of them is a call center with no idea of what you really need. Siskiyou Insurance has an agent that deals with nothing but Medicare issues and can explain the differences clearly between a Medicare supplement and Medicare Advantage. Call Greg Green at Siskiyou Insurance at 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Wind River Resort and Casino is about to make your summer sizzle
with our $100,000 Bronco Bucks Swipe to Win draw.
Swipe your River Club card daily to win free drawing entries or other instant prizes.
Your Thursdays just got way more thrilling with our weekly drawings kick off at 7 p.m.
Mark your calendars for the final drawing on August 29th for your shot at cold hard cash.
For a 2024 Ford Bronco.
For complete details, visit WindRiver.com or call 1-800-280-UWIN. Find your moments at Wind River Resort and Casino.
But I won't back down. No, I'll stand my ground. Won't be turned around. And I'll keep this world from dragging me down. Gonna stand my ground. And I won't back down.
we're back. And before we get started, I just want to put out some information for everybody. The Shasta County Republican Assembly is going to be hosting a fundraiser dinner and auction. That will be Saturday, August 17th. And let's see, that will be held at the Redding Elks Lodge, 250 Elk Drive in Redding, down along the river. Doors open at 4, dinner starts at 6. And if you're interested, you can buy tickets online, and or you can buy them at Jones Fort. They have the flyers there. And you can reach out to any one of the Shasta County Republican Assembly members. The phone number, if you want to call to check in or get the information, is 530-356-4936.
Yeah, and this is a great event. Of course, I'm going to be there. I know Supervisor Kellstrom is going to be there. I'm really impressed with the Shasta County Republican Assembly for taking a lead on this and what they're doing by raising funds. And they have a PAC. And so what they're going to be able to do is to be able to give a maximum contribution to a endorsed candidate, and they could also spend money on behalf of a candidate that's not authorized by that candidate. And that's important. That's not been done by any one of the Republican groups, but it's very effective. And it's only effective if you raise some money. So I'm encouraging everyone to come. Tickets are only $40, and they're going to have a great barbecue. And or get a table, and a table for eight is only $300.
Yeah.
And that's a great deal. Definitely support this organization. They are affecting change here in Shasta County, which is what we needed. And they're helping candidates, good conservative candidates, get to elected offices. And they do an endorsement. And so their endorsement is going to have some power behind it because it has some money behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're fairly selective as to who
they're
going to endorse. So this is a good thing. I'm really happy. I have complained at other groups in the past for not doing things like this to affect the change.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just let it wave around out there in the wind. I've seen some really good candidates come and go. And without proper funding, we've missed opportunities.
Well, and also the thing is that the Shasta County Republican Assembly is supporting local people.
Right.
You know, city council, board of supervisors, school boards. District, we just had a whole program on school boards.
Yep.
And that's something that it really is going to be local first. I mean, how many now General Flynn's even shouting from the rooftops that, it's local first. Everybody, it's local first. And, okay, well, if it's local first, then it's about time we had some people who would support local rather than just the status quo of assembly and president and senator, et cetera.
Sure.
It's along those lines. America first. Okay, America first, yeah, on a national level. Local first on a local level. So there you go.
Well, and maybe some of you won't be able to actually attend the event. Maybe you won't be in town.
Mm-hmm.
But you can still donate. You could donate auction items, raffle items, or just monetary amount. And you can do that through the phone number that Wynn gave, or you can go to Jones Fort. And drop items off because they truly are working hard to support us locally. You want to repeat that number, Wynn?
Yeah, that's it. 530-356-4936.
And you also can pick up, sign up and pay for this. And by the way, with that $300 for a table, which is a bargain, you get 200 tickets.
Oh, and it's Smoke and Joe's. They're going to have
Smoke and Joe's barbecue brisket, man.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be good.
Good stuff.
Yep.
You know, in a very nice environment. The Elk Lodge is
beautiful.
A nice environment.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a real great thing, and we can support local candidates. And if we don't win back our local governments, then, your state governments, then,
And if you want to reach out and get involved or come to actually a meeting, assembly meeting as well.
August the 1st, it's Shasta mm-hmm. Bible College at 6 p.m.
Yep.
That's August the 1st, Shasta Bible College at 6 p.m. There's a meeting. Come on out. See what these folks are all about. And become part of the process. Talk about being part of the process. Laura, you've been part of the process for a long time. You have an incredible background. That everything from legal to business owner, you name it, you've just about done it. And a lot of people don't really know that about you. But I'd like to hear the perspective you have on what you've seen over the last few months at the Board of Supervisors, but also where you think we need to go as citizens and what your thought process is.
Well, I do attend. I try to be at every meeting because I am interested, not just because my husband's on the board. And I watch. I see what happens in the meetings. I watch that people aren't always fair in there. But the interesting part is that I've had people, which you might say from all sides, come to me and they know I'm always polite. I'm not rude. I speak very forthright and the truth, and I try to keep it on the mark. I would love it just for people to back off, pay attention. Let's get some county business done. Quit fighting this process. But I know that's a hopeful by me wanting that, because it's so nice when things just run smoothly and we get to actually see what's going on. I would love more of the public to get engaged as far as really looking at what's going on. People have no idea what Patrick does behind the scenes. There's a lot of criticism and there's a lot of optimism. People say, keep doing what you're doing. He is regularly out there talking with people. You know what's funny, Terry, is there's been a lot of people that have left California, left Redding. People that Patrick's known almost all of his life because they just don't want to fight. But they're just running away from the problem. And the one thing Patrick has always said, and I agree with, is that I'm not going to leave. This is my home. Let's just make it better. Let's try to bring it back to what it was maybe even 20 years ago. And I do see people waking up to that, and it does take everyone standing up and getting involved. Even on the smallest degree, do something, whether it's donating to this assembly, right, where they can help get the word out about good candidates. And I still encourage people, Patrick, most of the time when people have not, they say bad things about Patrick, I'll just put it that way. And the funny thing is, they've never had a conversation with him.
Yeah,
they're listening to other people, and Patrick will always have a conversation with some, if you're going to be polite. You know, he doesn't use swear words or bad words or anything like that. You just have to have a conversation. But people made up their mind because they listened to somebody else. And what I like is when I have talked with someone, and they finally said, "Well, I didn't know that." I said, "Well, you know, you're hearing from different sources. You're not actually talking to Patrick and finding out what's really going on." But his heart, I can't believe how hard he works and how much he cares and has put into this county. And I feel the same way. I remember traveling through here as a little girl going up to Alturas, and I'd say, you know what, I'm going to live here one day. I'm going to live here one day. And, well, yeah, 30 years later, I'm here already. Yeah, so, and I know that's just a perspective as a wife. I sit very quietly back there as a rule when I can't help a burst of laughter or a something comes out because it just strikes me so funny, and it's involuntarily, but it comes out.
I'm really funny.
Yeah. So you actually are. People don't know that
you're
side
really
of you.
Funny.
But anyway, that's enough from me. Well, we'll move on.
Yeah, you know, Lori said something that you know, how much you do work and as hard as you work, and I know firsthand how hard you work. I've seen it over the years, and it was one thing, if somebody younger was running for office, I forget who it was, but you told them, you said, you know, I got bit by this bug a while ago, and once you get bit by that bug, you know, you get involved, you get engaged.
Yeah, I mean, for me, when I first was elected from, you know, 2006 to 2010, there was a time that I wasn't going to run again. The stress was pretty heavy, and we had a global recession going on, and I almost didn't, but I decided I would, and I got reelected. And then the stress went down once you get over that hump. And that's why I'm so impressed right now with Chair Cry and Supervisor Kellstrom. They've been only on the job for a year and a half, and I've had to deal with a lot of stuff. And they have done that very well, much better than what I would have done back in 2007 or 2008. A lot of stuff thrown at them. They've handled it. But they're both very smart, both very capable, and that's why we have a really good board. And when I leave the board, I'll have a lot of positive thoughts that we're leaving it better than we found it. And I'm just a lot more happy today in this position with what we've been able to accomplish compared to the 8 years I had at City Hall and without the like-minded people. I had Gary Cadd, but that was all I had.
Yeah.
And we really couldn't get...
Well, people don't realize that you have to have three of the five on the majority of items that you vote on. So, and sometimes people make the comment even about you, oh, you didn't accomplish anything when you were on, on readying council. It's like, yeah, actually he did, and he did it when he had the majority of the board, which was such a short window, but he kept fighting. Just like I remember when he first came on to the Board of Supervisors, and he fought. He brought things up that I know some of the board, this is even when Modi was still on there, when they didn't want these things necessarily brought up.
Right.
Patrick brought them up, and they couldn't very well say no because it was like the marijuana eradication team. Patrick is the one who brought that back forward and got that reenacted. And you could tell they didn't really want to do it because it had been disbanded by Modi, 7 years previous. And now, he stood up, though, and they're like, gosh, if we don't say yes to this, we're going to look bad to the public, even though they may not have wanted it. So he still learns how to fight in other ways, even if he doesn't have the majority.
Yeah, the eradication thing is pretty interesting because I know that there was a lot of flack that had happened. And about Patrick this and Patrick that, and, I know that, one particular character who wears a mask and a camouflage and goes by a fake name, but everybody knows his real name, comes in and talks about all these different things. It's so silly. And thank you, Patrick, for that. There's a lot of things you do that you haven't taken credit for, which is admirable, but the real deal is that Stones is on the line here, and he wants to say something. I can feel it through the. I can feel it.
Uh oh.
Richard, get it, buddy. Get it, man. Come on, get it.
Uh oh. Morning, everybody.
Morning.
Yeah. There's been lots of turnover in county staff and this and that, and superficially that's a good thing. They've all left with their pensions intact and. Their reputation's intact, and some of them left for these cushy umbrella jobs, for Children's Legacy Center or SCOE, $100,000-plus jobs. And nowhere on their resumes does their previous employment read fired or terminated. And I'm disappointed with the board this year and last year because, there's a particular staff member, I will not give her name, but I will give her initials, SB. She has more than long ago earned her termination paperwork, subversion. I'm not going to go down the list over the radio, but, that's my disappointment is, these people are walking away and basically are not, they have suffered no injury meaning, termination type stuff. And so they live to fight the conservatives another day, unscathed. And that's really my disappointment. And, our current board, they're going to get, they are getting criticized no matter what they do. That's just how it's going to work, right? That's how it is working. So, why not start initiate disciplinary proceedings and get some of these people actually terminated? Because, I mean, they deserve it, honestly. When you're insubordinate and you sabotage things, and I mean, come on, really? So, I really wish our board would do something with a little more teeth regarding these staff members.
Is there Richard, is there a legal, and Patrick, both of you, is there a legal ramification of that? In other words, if you fired them, do they have legal recourse on you, saying that you fired them and it wasn't... you didn't really have a basis to fire them. Is there something that they can do, and would that be a roadblock to terminating people? Go ahead.
Yeah, so it is difficult, but we have. In fact, the previous board with Les Baugh, we did fire our health officer at that time, Ranstrom, and that was a person that was fired without cause. And you have to, when you do have a situation where you do have to fire somebody, you have to be very careful because anybody can sue anybody today. That is, and we're very aware of that. We don't want to cost the county any extra money if we can avoid it. But yet, when you do have some issues where laws have been broken, malfeasance and so forth, then I think you have to go forward. So I would partially agree with Stones and then partially disagree in that not everybody is going to get a retirement. If you were only with the county for 5 or 6 or 7 years and you're fairly young, you're not going to be able to draw You're going to get a very small retirement, and you're going to have to wait until your time, which is going to be 55 or 62. And so for some of those, they are not going to get a county retirement of any substance. And so there is that. And we have a process, and I'm just going to say this, you're going to hear more probably about Eric Magrini in the next few months. And that's another process that is playing out, and you'll hear more about that shortly.
Well, not really looking at all the facts, as I don't know them, but it seems odd to me that we have somebody who we pay in the county who takes a leave and then gets another job and doesn't ever show up. Why is he even? How can he even possibly? Why are we waiting a few months?
Well, there is a process, and I can tell you that he is a county employee, but he is not getting paid.
That I didn't know.
Yeah, so he's not getting paid. And again, there is a process, and it has to be exhausted.
Gotcha.
That time period is quickly coming, and then we can be more vocal at that time.
So one point quickly, and then I'll get out of here. Employees, do they have union protection? Are they exempt employees, which are basically appointed types, such as Ramstrom? But there's three things. I was a public employee for decades, federal, state, and local. So I have just a little bit of knowledge on this process. So there's three things that can get a public employee fired, one strike, not even multiple warnings. So lying. Lying will get you fired immediately with one proven instance. Insubordination. Ooh, okay, maybe a second, maybe two violations there, but if it's a gross violation, a single insubordinate act can get you fired. And then, of course, drugs and alcohol, stuff like that. But, I just think there's more people that deserve the disciplinary process to be started. And, yes, they have union protection, but I'm just saying that violations I'm aware of, these people should be gone. Anyways, that's just my opinion. But I'm going to get out of here. I appreciate appreciate the call today. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much. Now, Patrick, we've got about 6 minutes, 7 minutes left. You wanted to talk about the new media position we have with the Board of Supervisors. Shoot away.
So folks can go on the Shasta County website, take a look. There was a press release on Friday. I was unaware of it until I read it on Friday. So that was the first time that I was exposed to it. But I do like the content of it. And basically, in a nutshell, what it says is for members of the public, if you are members of the media, we have a media room that has glass and that you can set up in there with your cameras. So channel 7, channel 12, and so forth, that would be members of the media. They can go into the media room and film from that location. If there is a disruption in the meeting and the public is asked to leave, and the media then can stay in the media room. Now, if members of the media wish to stay on the floor, like we've seen some do with their cell phones, and that's how they report, they're not going to be considered members of the media if they stay on the floor. Therefore, if a disruption occurs and we have to clear the room, that type of media personnel will be treated just the same as the public and will be asked to leave, and they will need to leave.
Okay, good. Now, off to the side, that's where Mangus records. Everybody records off on the side over there. The media room, isn't that the room that's enclosed in glass?
Right. So he could. Okay. So like Mike Mangus, for example, he could be off to the side and choose to continue to film from that location. However, if the room has to be cleared, he has to go as well. So the new policy is going to place him in the back room. It's secure. And you can see, you can still see the board, and you can still hear the board. He'll have a decision to make whether he wants to stay at his current location, or go into the media room. But if there's a disruption and the room has to be cleared, anybody that's on the floor will be cleared. The media room will not. And so that's the new policy. And what I think it's intended to do is for people that are disruptive, they're looking for, that's what they want. They're looking for recognition. They want that type of excitement, and they need to be filmed through that process. That's what they want. They're seeking attention, and this is a way for them to do it. This should be able to limit that type of exposure because it doesn't play to their to that advantage is the way I see it. So I would certainly support this new policy.
So now, is that coming to before the board, or does it have to?
No, it's just a new policy.
Drafted by who? I mean, if it's a policy, it's not a board.
I heard that the press release, if I'm not mistaken, says that it was drafted by County Council Larmer and the CEO, Dave Rickert.
But just in regards to media, though, correct?
Yeah, it's just where media is going to be in the room.
Yeah, why would you have to the board? Yeah.
You know, so I don't think it has
policy.
To go.
Yeah, you wouldn't have to. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, getting back to this, we have about 4 minutes left, but it kind of concerns me in the fact that, you know, when these meetings get interrupted, it's disrupted. Some people work, they have obligations, they've got to leave, they can't come back. We already have a situation where we have public comment. Could happen to where you couldn't public comment if you wanted to. It could be something about a road, or it, you know, near your house. Or
well, there, this is a fairly new thing, Terry, because, you know, I went to 12 years of Reading City Council meetings and didn't see any of this. In,
right.
You know, from 2002 to 2015, these people are very left-leaning.
Yes.
And they have simply been able to be allowed to be disruptive.
That's the point. Be allowed.
Without any consequences.
Right.
And so I think now you're starting to see some consequences. And a big part of this is going to be the reaction with the DA. Because it did cost you money. It cost the taxpayers money in disruption, the sheriff's deputies, how many we had there, the phone calls with the sheriff, our county council. There was quite a production into this to make sure that we did it right, did it legal. And so there is some cost to you. And so, again, it's a handful of people, very left-leaning, very childish, disrupting, breaking a law, disrupting a public meeting, all for their own gain. It had nothing to do. We take lots of votes. And the vote that created this last disruption was my vote not supporting a particular person that I didn't feel was truthful about his feelings with the election commission. So I think it's going to get better. We're going to certainly find out over the next few months as to how this works. I can also tell you from watching a little bit of Facebook posts that the person that was removed has now asked people to be disruptive in a mass setting. That's the type of people that we're dealing with.
Well, and the thing is it gives them control of the environment. So I think that they're in. And, you know, be nice if the, you know, just get rid of them. I mean, the thing is that people should be able to speak their mind, and they're allowed to speak their mind. And it's good you can speak on all the calendar items, and you also have public comment. But the intention that they have with their behavior, which that's a 403 violation, that they can stop the meeting, disrupt the meeting, do whatever they want to control the narrative.
Well, they have something where there is basically say laws for thee and not for me. Right? So the law is for you guys, but not for me.
Right.
And PC 403, hopefully the DA follows through because it's up to 6 months in jail, $1,000 fine.
Right, yeah.
You know, I mean, it's ridiculous to keep doing that. But here they're complaining about, I was sitting out, you know, in the stairwell with many county employees that were waiting for their turn to go back in there. We were over an hour and a half
right.
sitting out there waiting to go back in because they decided to, you know, pull this immature act. And now, you know, hopefully it costs them $1,000 or 6 months in jail, whatever it is. If they can afford to do that and don't have a problem, then hopefully the sheriff continues and the DA continues and you get some reasonable sense back.
And our last opportunity to restore order is we are going to return to the tar and feathering.
Well, we have to have consequences for actions.
Right.
Well, and these are on
absolutely.
The books. It's penal code.
And you're right. It's on the books. So those are the consequences for those actions. Yeah.
Well, we've got a minute left, buddy. Can you bring us home? Bring us home.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me on and talking a little bit about the Centers for Civic Tech.
We invited Lori. You just
tagged
along.
We did, yeah.
And appreciate that. That is a way that we get information out, that you're not seeing this in the newspaper, right? You didn't see this in the newspaper. You didn't see it on Channel 7.
Nope.
It's pretty important. But yet, here we are today getting it out to the public so that they can see some of the things that went on. It's absolutely factual. The emails are there. 174 emails going behind the board, total insubordination, and yet the media refuses to print it. And they have not questioned anything that I've said so far because it's all factual. And so in order to win this war, it's things like this that have to be done. We have to get the word out, and whomever can do that in the future better is going to win. And so I appreciate you guys having me on and telling this one story. And we have more stories.
And we'll have you on again.
Yes. We'll come back.
Patrick and Lori Jones, and time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen. Amen.
News from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional